You have entered the Roni Zone. In the Roni Zone, we strive to entertain, inform, inspire, engage, and sometimes enrage you here in the Roni Zone. And after this show, please visit us at ronizone.com. So get comfortable. You're in the Roni Zone.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeff Roni, and I'm going to do something a little different this show. I'm going to play The Stalker, and then we're going to take a little break, and then I'm going to do a commentary on The Stalker and talk about all the different influences and the path from the writing of it and the production of it. So it should be pretty interesting. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, so buckle up. And I will talk to you soon. See ya. Bye.
Roni Zone Productions presents an original audio mystery, The Stalker.
Have a seat.
Of course.
All right, then. When your counsel arrives...
No need for that.
Waiving your rights?
I always represent myself. I'm used to it.
Makes sense. You seem so...
Self-assured, self-reliant, self...
Yeah, yeah. Wow, don't get this guy started. I'm Agent Larson. This is Agent Thompson.
Hello. Very nice to finally meet you, gentlemen.
Finally, huh?
Oh, yes.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Agent Larson, that's not why I'm here, is it? I'm quite sure we can find more interesting things to talk about.
Fine. You were apprehended hiding outside Mr. Turner's home. Let's try not to drag this out. Why were you there?
My car broke down nearby, and I needed to use the phone to call a tow truck.
What? No cell phone?
Cell phone? No. They're dangerous. Brain cancer, you know.
Now, we didn't find any identification on you. So if you can tell us who you are, it'll save us all a little time.
With all the knowledge and information that is available today, and you don't know who I am.
How interesting.
Who are you?
My name is Leon. Andrew Leon. My middle name is Paul.
I'm on it. I'll go check it out.
I'm curious. What do you do for a living?
I am a world traveler, a sociologist of sorts. I study human behavior, why they do what they do. I think it's fascinating to watch people in many different situations and see what choices they make. It's intoxicating, really.
Mr. Turner and his wife have reported other situations when they felt they were being watched. Have you been there before? And were you trying to kill them?
Scott.
What? How do you know my name?
You're famous. Scott Larson, the hero of Elmsville, they called you. I watched all the news reports of how you found that missing girl.
Kelly Hampton. She'll graduate from high school this year.
Yes. And remember what the city did for you.
A banquet and a huge parade. You know, my mom still pulls out the newspaper clipping.
After all that, you weren't rewarded in any way. No extra pay, no promotion, nothing but a small town banquet and parade. There is no justice, is there?
Well, I've tried to forget about that. We move on.
You were held back. Restrained. Shoved down.
I don't want to talk about this right now.
You are weak. Just like your father.
I'm strong enough to get rid of one more crazy vain stalker before I die.
You can't kill me.
I think a life sentence might be worth finding out. Damn it. The gun's jammed.
You see? I told you. It's not my time to be destroyed today, but you are much stronger than I thought. I stand corrected.
I apologize to you for that. I really didn't mean... Let's, forget that happened and continue with the interrogation.
I know you didn't mean any harm. We never really do in those situations. We ride on the waves of our emotions, and the places it takes us can be... shocking sometimes. Now, let's get back to where we were. I, too, meant no harm to Mr. Turner and his lovely wife, Samantha.
Lovely, huh? You know what I think? I think you're just a lonely guy who never had a date, and gets off by peeping in people's windows. But one day, you'll snap, and...
No.
Know what?
I can't touch them.
So, you're expecting me to believe that your perversion has boundaries.
It's true. I can't touch them at all, but...
But what?
I want to help her.
Okay, I'll bite. How will you help her?
All right, our peeper here. I ran his name, Prince. And he doesn't exist.
Well then, if I don't exist, I'll be on my way then.
Have a seat right there. Thanks. We're not done with you yet. Thompson, keep checking on this guy, will ya?
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So, how could you help Mrs. Turner?
Could I ask for a small favor?
Depends on how good a mood I'm in.
I see the radio here. A little music, please.
Sure. Why not? It's Be Nice to Stalkers Week, right? There.
Yes. Suzanne Turner, the United Nations liaison from the U.S., is now coming into the presentation hall.
And now you're going to tell me how you were going to help.
We now wait for the signing of this momentous peace treaty. The heads of state of Israel, China, Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Palestine all shake Ambassador Turner's hand as they take their seats together at the table. If this treaty is signed, this could be the first time in history when the world is finally at peace. And now, we will hear a presentation from the Israeli head of state.
You're psychic too, I guess. How did you...
I do my research. Pity you do not.
Must be a strange coincidence, then.
There are no coincidences. There are choices and repercussions. This treaty is a bad idea. Peace is such a messy business. I tried to get that across to them.
Them? What do you mean? Were you stalking the rest of the world leaders, too?
So, all right, you wanted any information on our peeper here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Anything?
Spit it out.
Okay. His name is Andrew Paul Leon. A. Paul Leon. Apollyon, the devil, the destroyer. So, he's either crazy or...
So, you're the devil.
There have been so many names. Andrew, I do like the ring of that one. It's so cosmopolitan.
You know, actually, we do get to interrogate many prominent figures. I talked to some nut one time that said he was George Washington. You know, he wore a wig and everything.
Yeah, and last month we talked to Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, too.
Remember when we questioned Jesus Christ here for 2 hours?
How dare you?
What did you say to me?
How can you be so glib about things you don't care to know anything about?
Just what do you mean?
Just because you are an agnostic doesn't mean I am. I am very aware of my enemy and what he is trying to do. That's why I know this world treaty is a bad idea. There will come a time when a leader will rise and rule, but not yet.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Right.
Just when I think I've met the biggest nut there is, I always get one that tops the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Where's your pitchfork? Your horns? You know, you're not even red.
You watch too many cartoons.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go see if anything popped up on our friend here.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. So, Satan. Do something.
Now who's crazy?
Change your shape. Growl. Levitate. Do something to make me believe that you are the devil.
Oh, my. I'm not for parlor tricks.
Like I thought.
You are challenging me.
You're damn right I am. You knew so much about me, I figured you could prove it to me. I mean, if you're so powerful.
You don't know what you are doing.
Oh, no? I think I know exactly what I'm doing. Prove it. Here. If you wanted to stop the treaty signing, do it.
In time.
You're just some crazy weirdo. You have no power. Hey, crazy guy? What are you doing?
The leaders are seated. After a historic photo in front of the flags of the world, they are opening their pens, and they begin to sign the treaty one by one. Oh no, what's this? Someone's running in the back door. They're breaking free of the security guards. It's a man. Yes, he's running up on stage. He's grabbed a gun and he's pointing it at Ambassador. He's pointing it at Ambassador Turner. The gunman is yelling something and the ambassador is pleading with him. Oh no, it looks like a guard has shot the gunman. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a horrific sight. The blood and the leaders begin to hide under their tables as guards run to protect them.
As I said, peace is such a messy business.
How did you do that?
What in the hell is going on at that treaty?
Ask him.
You did that?
I was sitting here the whole time. Agent Larson has seen to that.
Look, we can't reach anyone. Larson, my dad is there. I'll be right back. Watch him.
If you're so powerful, then snap your fingers or beam yourself there and wipe them all out.
I told you he won't allow it.
God? God won't allow you? You believe in God.
More than you. You don't know what it's like to be the most beautiful being and then you come along.
Me?
Man. Such a waste of time and space.
Waste? People actually worship you. You actually need mankind to validate your god complex.
I guess no one will ever understand me, so let me explain it to you one more time. The fact is, I don't care anything about man. I hate you, all of you, with your petty problems, worries, fears. The only reason I put up with mankind is to wave a shiny object like money, power, and fame in your face and draw you all away from him. To me, humans are just one big number game. When they finally lock me up and throw away the key, I hope that every single human rots there with me.
So there isn't a pot of gold at the end with you? Party in hell and all that?
Play now, pay later. Someone has to pay for the party, but I won't pay for you. That was his bag.
A number of shots have been fired in the room. It's difficult to know exactly what's going on. A security guard or two have been shot. I am hiding under a table at the moment. It's very difficult to see.
So it's all you, then. Man is good. We wanted this treaty, but you...
Oh, yes. I'm the cause of everything bad in the world. Blame me. How convenient. It's not about greed, power, or position. No, it's all my fault. All I do is dangle the hook, but man always takes it. You complete me, as it were.
So, even if I finish you off right now, it won't mean a thing, right?
Not really. My team believes in allegiance almost to a fault. We have vision. His team argues about the smallest things. We go to church on Saturday. We go to church on Sunday. We speak in tongues. We don't speak in tongues. My team focuses on the goal, not how we get it. My minions are highly motivated, work well with others, and will do anything to get what we want. Kill me, my plan moves forward. Only he can stop the plan, but not yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ambassador Turner is now addressing the crowd.
What began as a new path of peace has now been another example of the evil and violence in our world. This position has taken a toll on myself, my husband, and our whole family. I now will propose something different.
What could this mean? A postponement? A change in venue? She's taken a gun from the guard next to her.
This treaty is our last chance for peace. War is all around us, and there is only one way I can end it.
She's going to... Oh, God. Why did she... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I can't continue. It is horrible.
Well, that's that. It would seem there are more important things to tend to now than holding me here. Your partner's father...
My dad, he's dead. I gotta go.
Yeah. Okay, go.
Well, until we meet again.
Are you sure?
It's possible. 50-50 chance.
You'll have to forgive me if I don't stand up.
I don't forgive. That's his bag.
The Stalker was written, directed, and produced by Jeff Roney. Production assistance by Christine Q. Andrew Leon was played by David Ault. Agent Larson was played by Nathan P. Butler. The radio reporter was played by Jeff Roney. Agent Thompson was played by Jeff Roney. Ambassador Suzanne Turner was played by Lisa Baldwin. And the intro and outro by Natalie Nicole Gilbert. The Stalker is a Roney Zone production, copyright 2008. Visit jrdonline.com for more information and other productions.
Okay, take one, go ahead.
Shark-infested waters.
Hold it. It's snark. Snark-infested waters.
Snark. Snark-infested waters. Okay, got it.
Take two.
Snark-infested waters, where faith, art, and fandom... Now, wait a minute.
What's wrong now?
Do I have to go to church to listen to this show?
No. Taylor Kent, the host of Snark-infested Waters, he discusses his faith from time to time. But you don't have to go to church just to listen.
Okay. Take three. Snark-infested waters, where faith, art, and fandom collide. Wow, all in one show?
Uh-huh. One more take, please, Darth.
Sure. Snark-infested waters, where faith, art, and fandom collide. Because, you know, when you're a confused Dark Lord of the Sith like me, you need all the help you can get.
Snark-infested waters at thesnarkyavenger.com.
Once in a while, a Star Wars audio parody comes along that is so funny, so amazing, so well written, that all other audio parodies pale in comparison. Unfortunately, Tatooine TV is not that Star Wars audio parody show. But if one comes along, we'll let you know. Tatooine TV. Very funny Star Wars audio parodies, only available at jrdonline.com.
Hey everybody, this is Jeff Roney, and we will be discussing in depth The Stalker. And so I just want to give a bit of warning for people that maybe don't really care to hear that much about religious subjects and the Bible and God and that kind of stuff. We will be discussing quite a bit about the background of The Stalker, which includes discussions about religion, God, and the Bible. So, full disclaimer, there it is. So, my idea was to take biblical concepts and put them in an arena that it wasn't the norm. And what I mean is, we are surrounded by things like VeggieTales and different things where the Bible is well done, but it's put in a kind of family-friendly little place and that kind of a thing. And it's now commonplace. But I wanted to put biblical concepts in an edgy format in a different place. Now, I love audio drama. And the more I walk into that arena, I find more and more places where it's very edgy, very dark, all kinds of different ways to tell an audio drama story. I started out with the Star Wars audio drama folks at StarWarsFanWorks.com and Nathan P. Butler. And I've grown out and I've met some great people. Tabitha Smith and Taylor Kent has done a show that's Stark Infested Waters that highlighted a bunch of folks. Just too many to really talk about. But anyway, there's so many great audio drama folks on the internet. And so I said it was almost like a quest to see if I could write something that would resonate with religious folks and non-religious folks to make it kind of X-File-ish, Twilight Zone-ish, that kind of a thing. So I sat down and I said, all right, I want two hardened, jaded cops. And that's really where I started. And so I want them to apprehend somebody, kind of a normal, almost you could take it from maybe a cops episode, well, not a cops episode, but just an average normal life of two cops picking up somebody and questioning them. There's a bunch of cop shows, The Closer, and all kinds of different cop shows where the interrogation is going on and that kind of a thing. And so I figured, well, that's kind of an interesting point to do that. And so I said, who would be the person that we pick up and take into the interrogation room? And so I said, well, let's make it the devil. And of course, you know, once you go down that path, you're going to split the room, even if you do have good concepts. So I said, no, it's edgy. It's different. Let's just go that way. So I wrote the script and I took a lot of turns and I crafted around the thought of Revelation, the end times, world peace, the fragileness of world peace and that kind of a thing. So that was really the gist of it. And then I started to kind of build the story and I said, well, let's make this woman, Suzanne Turner, the ambassador that is brokering this world peace treaty. And then this stalker person is stalking her. And then as we learn more about the story, we find out that actually he is stalking all of the world leaders. And then we kind of build out more and more who he is and what he is doing. So I said, okay, all right, that's interesting. We'll roll with that. And so I wrote the script scared to death because I am always leery of this huge band of Bill Maher atheists and agnostic folks and folks that just hate, run away screaming, grabbing their ears, anything that is religious in nature. And I want to say this, and this is going to freak people. I understand on one level because religious creativity is really at a low. I can pick on one hand, maybe two, Christian or religious films and stories and creative ventures that are really well done. And that's just the truth. So I can understand people that don't really believe in God listen to a religious program or a religious play or something like that and say, I don't want anything to do with that God if that's all they can come up with. I'm going to go to the devil's side because he has better plays, better music, and I don't know what is with these Christian people. So that is why I decided to do something very edgy, very different. So wrote the script, cast it, found fantastic people. David Ault, fantastic. And I sent him the script. He jumped at the chance. He said, this is incredible. And we were off and running. So Nathan P. Butler is one of the cops. And then as the story progressed, I changed it from policemen to special agents. I figured we'll just kind of generalize it and they'll be agents for whatever. I put it together and I listened to it. I was very impressed. And at each step, the writing, the recording, the producing, I said, this is never going to go anywhere. No one's ever going to care. This is because, again, you know, I think that the Church of Bill Maher and all the agnostics and atheists just really, I kind of get the feeling they're out to get me, you know. And so as long as I kind of play their game and stay neutral, and not make any religious statements at all, then they'll kind of leave me alone and allow me a bit of, you know, a bit of notice and that kind of a thing. But I said, you know what? I have seen enough bashing of Christians and religious folks in films and television shows long enough. It's about time that someone tells the truth about who the devil is. And why not actually witness about the Bible from the mouth of the devil? I just think it was, you know, a fantastic thought that, I mean, yes, we know that the devil lies and he's the father of lies, and I understand that. But, you know, if people have trouble with God, maybe they'll listen to the devil. And if he's saying actually the truth, the right things about the Bible, I found that to be kind of interesting. So, I mean, I've always been on the edge anyway and done a lot of edgy types of stuff. So this one, you know, just kind of falls in line with me. I'm a rebel. I've been a rebel for a long time. Went to Christian college. And at the time I went, I did not want to go to chapel. Sat in the back and, you know, so there's that. But anyway, so I released it. And I actually got some write-ups from some great folks. There's Julie from Forgotten Classics. She actually posted it in the science fiction SFF audio blog. And I was really surprised. And then that's when Taylor Kent looked into it and, you know, was really impressed. And then the Jaded Visalian podcast folks, Dave, I started noticing it too, and I said, well, maybe it's got some legs. So at that point, I sent it in to Jack Ward. Great show, great guy, really doing a lot for audio drama. And so Jack Ward played it on a recent episode of Sonic Society, and I thank him for that. But anyway, let's kind of dig into the story, and I really want to focus on a lot of the parts of the script and little Easter egg kind of things and that kind of a thing. So the first part is when they run this stalker's prints and name and all this stuff, they said, you know, they don't know who he is. And it's interesting because Paul Leon says, you know, of all the knowledge that's in the earth, you still don't know who I am. And, you know, there's a scripture that talks about that in the end times, that knowledge is going to increase, but actually we'll know less by knowing more. And so it's interesting that of all the things that they couldn't pick it up, you know, and he introduces himself as Andrew Leon. So we left off the Paul to kind of keep the mystery going. And then there's this comment about the cell phone and how that one of his agents said, well, don't you have a cell phone? He goes, no, brain cancer, don't you know? And of course, it's a ruse to kind of keep up the facade of that he's just kind of waiting outside. And if he was caught, he would say, well, no, he was going to go use their phone. But actually, he's been out there just waiting and putting visual pressure on her. And we'll keep going. But anyway, as Andrew Leon's talking about himself, he says he's a world traveler. And that refers specifically to Job 1. Hey, everybody, we're going to stop right there and trying to keep the shows around a half an hour. So anyway, that is part one. And next time, we're going to go into part two of the Stalker commentary. I hope you have enjoyed it. And send me your thoughts at jeff.roney@gmail.com. See you next time. This is Jeff Roney for Roney's Own Radio. Bye.
In October of 2007, the first ever Buffy the Vampire Slayer audio drama premiered.
We've done this so many times. We just need to get some...
We've done this so many times with Buffy. Without Buffy, we're going to all die horrible deaths.
Buffy Between the Lines attempts to tell the story between the seasons of the television show.
Yeah, not a good idea?
Under the circumstances, it's brilliant.
And the fans have loved it. Here's just a small portion of what the fans have had to say.
Oh my God, this podcast is wonderful. You've given Buffy back to me and to all of us.
Smart, sometimes sad, sometimes funny, but always well written and acted. If audio drama is your cup of tea, you, yes you, need to listen to Buffy Between the Lines.
The dialogue is so good, it's hard to tell that it wasn't written by Joss sometimes.
It wasn't a fanfic years later. It felt like an episode of Buffy during the run. You truly did an amazing job, and I'm so looking forward to the rest of the season. Thank you for keeping the Buffyverse alive.
I'm transported back to Sunnydale on my iPod every time an episode arrives.
Buffy Between the Lines. Find out what happened between the seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. BuffyBetweenTheLines.com.
I'm Jack Ward.
And I'm Shannon Hilche.
Please join us in the Sonic Society as we delve into the very best new audio cinema the world has to offer.
Each week we showcase a new audio drama that you may not have heard of, made by a growing group of new radio play enthusiasts.
We also offer interviews, tips on audio works, and a continuing serial.
So if you love full cast stories, and who doesn't, please join us each week at the Sonic Society.
You can find us at sonicsociety.org or at any of the major directories like the Podcast Pickle or iTunes. Join us, won't you?
And when you come, bring a friend.
What does a hero look like? A hero would have a strong will, perseverance, a caring heart for the oppressed, courage, strength, determination, and it's a male.
Not necessarily.
Rony Zone Productions presents New World Army, a bold new futuristic audio thriller that will show you the new face of a hero.
Are you sure this place isn't bugged, Sarah?
What if you're the bug?
But what about you? You're the one with the scanner.
Here! Scan me! Now! Do it! But Trent, keep a gun ready. If you even think...
If we let her in,
we might as well tell the whole army where we are.
On February 15th, 2008, the New World Army will march. Be a part of it. Visit nwarmy.ronyzone.com and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/newworldarmy. Don't miss the New World Army. They're coming for you.